KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX 93.5.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. It's Rainbow Radio. Thank you for tuning in. I've got some fabulous guests this morning. We'll get back to it on the other side. Say hello, Michael.
Hello.
Say hello. Shadi.
Hello, I'm here.
And Steve.
Good morning, Laguna Beach.
And we have Stacy. Oh, we'll get her back on the other side here. Good morning, Laguna Beach. We are back here, Craig, at Rainbow Radio. Whoops. First of all, good morning, Laguna Beach. It's supposed to be like 79 degrees today, and it's going to get warmer. It's 80 degrees, and you think it's hot today. Sunday it's going to be 80. Monday it's going to be 86. Tuesday, 90, 91, and we're going to have a hot week here in Laguna Beach. But enough about the weather. I want to say this is Craig Laguna Beach on Rainbow Radio KX93.5, and I have some fabulous guests this week. It seems the better guests I get. And so last week I had an 18-year-old called in from Ohio, and he has been a cheerleader for his high school, which I found interesting, and he's been class president for 4 years running. Just turned 18. He's only voted once when he turned 18. And he's running for the 85th Congressional District in Ohio against a Republican. I don't know for what that's worth, but he's... And the Republicans run unopposed for the last two elections. So we... Garrett Baldwin, we wish you luck. I tried to reach out to Ellen and hopefully get you on the Ellen show because of what you're doing. You know, it's part of the youth movement, and I think you were speaking from the heart. The interview was fabulous, and I wish you the best. So if anyone's out there in Ohio listening, please vote for Garrett if you get a chance, just to see what happens, you know. So anyway, I have a guest here, Michael. And what I call him is kindness in action. I think Michael personifies goodness and kindness in action. He has quite a resume. And Michael, I guess 2 weeks ago you were in New York on Sirius Radio with
Yes, I was.
Yeah, so we're in the main loop here, the main circle here. So, Michael, you know. We'll have a little round table here, but first let's get some information about your background. You were explaining a little bit about this is not a new organization that has come before us. It's been around for some time, even after one of the world wars. Is that what you said?
Exactly. Well, the World Kindness Movement was officially established in 1997, but its roots go back to Japan in 1963.
Wow.
And if you think about what it was like to be a Japanese person, a defeated nation, post-war, post-nuclear, and in 12 months' time, in 1963, they're about to host an Olympics. Wow. So guess who's coming to the party? Former wartime enemies. And they weren't too thrilled. That was a problem. And it was decided that kindness would officially be put on the national agenda as part of the reconciliation. Now, if you look at the relationship between Japan and the West today,
Yeah.
And you didn't know your history, you would never, never fathom that they were once bitter, mortal enemies.
Yeah.
And if kindness had a part to play in that, that's just testament to how powerful it can be.
So you've got a good reputation. The organization has quite a strong reputation.
Well, yeah, it's 28 nations now. And,
wow.
And it was managed by the Japanese government originally, and they're the ones that, after an ASEAN meeting, put it on the agenda for an after party, for the want of a better word. And, yeah, America was one of the original signatories, as was Australia. But over time, governments change, engagement changes. And you've got to remember, that was after the first Gulf War. So it was the coalition of the good willing as a part of coalition of the willing to not be kind,
yeah.
I guess. And in 2012, the Singapore government, we had our General Assembly in London and we presented an international presentation on how to change the world.
Wow.
And okay. The international community voted and Australia got the Guernsey, got the torch was passed to us. And part of that strategic plan included the United States in a big way. The first thing on the bucket list was China.
Okay. Wow, well,
they'd never been
that's
invited.
Quite a bridge.
Yeah. Well, you can't change the world without 1.4 billion people.
Leave them out, you mean? No.
No. So fortunately, at the time, the Australian Prime Minister was the only Western leader in the world who spoke fluent Mandarin. So he was a bit of a semi-celebrity.
Okay.
In China. And during his second election campaign, we were fortunate enough to be able to get to him and get a message to deliver to the Chinese people in regards to joining the campaign. Now, not only did they join the campaign, but the largest education body on the planet, the Chinese Ministry of Education, now has kindness on the curriculum.
Wow.
Which was developed in the USA.
Well, that's amazing. So if you're just tuning in, kindness is the name. What's the name, the official name of the organization?
Well, the World Kindness Movement is the global body, but I'm here as an Australian to
okay.
promote World Kindness USA.
Okay.
As a national platform for collaboration based on a foundation of kindness. Now, nobody owns it. There is no founder.
Okay.
So how do you do that?
I don't know.
Well,
with kindness,
you
I
get
suppose.
Someone from the other side of the world to step down from the secretariat role to say, we've got to nail this. And that's all I'm doing. I'm just facilitating, engaging organisations, people of influence, mm-hmm. and grassroots organisations, businesses, companies, not-for-profits like Variety International, one of your oldest and largest charities, was one of the first to become a founding member. We've already got 120 schools, and we don't launch, Craig, until next week.
Oh, in the U.S.?
Yeah, so we're hitting the ground running.
Let me just get to the meat of what the Kindness Organization does. I mean, rather than solicit people to support it, what is it for the listener and myself, what is it that the... What's the key function that they do? They facilitate? Do they bring people together? Do they have? Do they encourage people to be kind through a program that they have developed?
The national bodies are a peak body, so they're the platform.
Okay.
Now, around your country, you've got so many people, so many organizations doing good things, but you have a hurdle. If you want to bring about change, you got to collaborate. You can't do it alone.
Right.
But when you live in one of the most competitive countries on the planet, not only are you protecting your IP and your bit of turf and your brand, you compete on everything. Donations, fundraising, time with people of influence, media, Facebook likes.
Mm-hmm.
All these levels of competition become hurdles to collaboration. But if your platform is based on kindness, you bring those people together where they share the voice, they have a commonality that they can embrace, all of a sudden, you've got a critical mass. All of a sudden, when you knock on that door, it'll open. So when cities sign up to become members, they have an opportunity to meet the KPIs, kindness performance indicators. Now, if they walk their talk, they will be put forward to the international community to be officially listed as a World Kindness City.
Steve?
And that's designed to engage everyone.
Yeah, just to add on to what Michael is saying, and we have Shadi here who's helping with getting this done. We're already in process to become a World Kindness City. We had an agenda bill several weeks ago that passed unanimously by the council, which was a starting point supporting the idea, et cetera. But Shadi and Michael have brought forward the specifics and mechanics for us to join. There are a lot of things we have to do.
Oh, wow.
So it's not just a resolution by the city council. There are many things we have to do, but I've been in contact repeatedly this week with our city manager, who is taking the bull by the horns, and we are in the process. Again, it's not easy. It's going to take us a little bit of time, but we are working actively on it, and we will achieve it.
Well, I'm glad you're here to explain what's going on in the city. And so I'm just stepping into this, and this is a process that apparently has already been initiated. And it's in the works. Is that fair to say?
It's more than fair to say. As I said, we had a city council agenda item, which passed unanimously several weeks ago, to be moving in this direction.
Oh, great. So Michael, when can we get this done?
Well, we're here to help. And if it takes a village to raise a child,
yeah,
it's important to understand that it's the same village that allows a child to be abused.
Yes.
And if you're a member of that village, we've got to stop pointing fingers. We've got to stop blaming. We've got to stop personifying evil, because the moment you personify evil and you want to blame somebody for something, you're deflecting responsibility. We might be in a really kind community. We might be in a really kind classroom. We might be at a really kind dinner, which I have been in all these places, but the bar can be raised. And it's more likely to be raised if you're mindful of it. So World Kindness Day is on the 13th of November, and whether you're a student in a school or a teacher or a DJ of a radio station, what we're looking for is value add. If you go to the website looking to join, looking for benefits, you're on the wrong space. Because it's not about receiving benefits, it's about providing a value add, which ultimately goes towards a global campaign. Because the problem we've got with discrimination is the only thing that doesn't discriminate is discrimination. And we need to be able to get everybody involved, because love discriminates, kindness, superficial kindness discriminates. But when we talk about authentic kindness, we're talking about the courage to be kind. The courage to stand up in the midst of an angry crowd and ask, is this the best we can be? The courage to stand up for someone who can't.
Yes.
That takes courage, because it's going to put your personal brand at risk, possibly. Maybe more.
Yeah. There is on the 24th of August, I'll put a plug in here, we have G4G, which is Gays for Good, and they do volunteer work that's just all about kindness and good, and I can't wait to have her on too. Anna Friedman, I believe is her name.
Correct.
And you're sending chills up my spine, Michael.
That's
and provoking me to be more kind. So I'm just on a, I know there's lots to talk about. But I was like, just on a personal note, what drew you into this? Was there an experience that gave you some powerful sentiments, or?
We made a clown cry.
A what?
Clown. A clown. It was a fundraiser at a school, and we had a lot of people contributing, and this young girl, she couldn't have been more than 25, had a startup business, like a party plan business for kids.
Okay.
Russell Crowe's son was in my daughter's class. It's got nothing to do with the story. I'm just name dropping.
there you go.
But more so, just to give you an idea of the school, it had a lot of high-profile people in the school. And they were fine, to be quite honest. But during this fundraiser, a lot of things happened that were not so kind. And it was amongst the parents, not the kids.
Oh, wow.
And this young girl came to us with her makeup running, her painted-on smile started to frown. And what had happened is that she was very popular doing balloon animals, face painting, and magic tricks. The queue to see her was long of children, but with the children were parents, impatient parents. Got to the point, two parents approached her and said, "You're too slow. Give us the balloons. We'll blow them up and you can tie the effing things up." And then threw them back at her.
Oh, my God.
We raised $13,000 that day, but I'm aware of a half a dozen incidences that happened. I went to the school PTA meeting and they wanted to give us a pat on the back. And I knew that we would be accepted. I knew that I would have endless play dates for my daughters and I knew we would have endless invitation to cocktail parties, but I thought it's not worth it. This needs to be addressed. This and all the other issues. So when I gave them the feedback, I also provided them an opportunity. And that opportunity was to promote the school motto at the next event, which happened to coincide with World Kindness Day on the 13th of November, which I Googled, right? I had no idea. I had no idea about anything. I'm just a dad.
Yeah.
And the school motto was kindness and courtesy, had been for 130 years.
I mean, that's divine.
I know.
Event.
I know. There's been lots of serendipitous moments throughout my 10-year journey, but this particular response I got astounded me. What's the appropriate level of kindness you think we should promote, Michael? We don't want to overdo it. And I had to lie. I said, "I don't know how to answer that." But the voice in my head was screaming at me, more than the appropriate level of meanness, you. But we got it through. 3,000 people came and we then took it to the Minister of Education. That got on the school calendar. That resulted in 400 events of kindness in the next 12 weeks. That got the attention of the Singapore government. They followed the breadcrumbs, made a phone call and asked me who I was. So I didn't have personally...
I'm a dad.
Yeah, I'm a dad. That's exactly what I said. I'm a dad. And they came to Australia. We had the General Assembly in Australia. And Australia hadn't been engaged, as I said earlier. We were initially, but we'd kind of drifted away. And they asked me if I'd be prepared to hold the torch, carry the baton for Down Under. And I said, well, I'm honoured. And then they suggested that perhaps it was time to see the Secretariat move. And when I went to London, it was with the intention that we put the bid in to take on the Secretariat role, which was a big deal.
Is a Secretariat role?
You've got to run the organisation for 28 countries and head it all up and do all the hoo-ha. Yeah. A lot of hoo-ha-ing.
So your I get it moment was this experience you had in at the school where your daughter was attending.
Yeah, that was stressful, right? That was incredibly stressful. It was, but in that, I won't go into it all today, but there are so many things that happened in that one school that represent our global issues.
Wow.
The sign on the door says, "All welcome."
Yeah.
But if you ever been to a PTA meeting,
I'll welcome.
You're not invited and you happen to turn up because you've made the mistake of reading the sign, you certainly don't feel welcome. And God forbid you've got a new idea because you haven't served your time. You're not part of the clique. Yeah. And that's not an indictment on anybody. That's just human nature. That's just an observation of the human condition. One of the things I talk about, because we want kids not to be bystanders, right? You see someone getting picked on in the school, we want them to speak up. We want them to act in some way, whether it's on the front foot or whether it's compassionately and speaking to the victim or embracing somebody. But here's the thing. People who sign up to the defence force, the police force, first responders, we know that when they sign up, they know that in the back of their mind they could be putting themselves in harm's way, yeah? That's why we call them our best and bravest.
Yep.
But for generations, our best and bravest sought the safety of silence whilst their own were being beaten, humiliated, abused, and assaulted for generations, all to protect a brand. And that's not an indictment on our best and bravest.
Yeah.
That's going to show, that's just to show you that challenges we have in every sector of the community. And I've seen the effects of once this campaign is up and running, people become more conscious, more aware. And if we can get that default mechanism in our decision-making process to ask, what is the kinder option?
So, it's, I mean, you want to, I guess in the big scheme of things, perhaps produce a conditional response that is not to ask the question, how much is too much kindness, but to ask the question and have the conditioned response be, how much more kindness can I facilitate? Ask yourself that and do what you can to share the kindness.
Yeah, and that's right. And when it's on your radar, your bandwidth, and I guess that's an appropriate term here at the radio station,
yes.
Your bandwidth increases. And not only do you begin to see the unseen that were always present,
yeah,
you are compelled. You are compelled to go up and say hello and invite them in. Mm-hmm. And I was at a dinner at Sydney University. We just got the first ever in the world scholarship for kindness, a sports scholarship.
Nice.
And this dinner is a beautiful college and they're a great school for the record. But this is just a really clear example of what I'm talking about. 300 young ladies between 18 and 23,
mm-hmm,
and me.
Oh,
I'm on the table of 20 young ladies from the student body and the faculty are up on the stage. And the noise in that room of women, young women, laughing and chatting away was deafening. And this is when I began to realize how I had changed. And I was getting lots of attention, obviously, because I'm giving out these awards and I wasn't drawn to that. I was drawn to the stillness and the silence of one young girl halfway down the table that just was preoccupied in being preoccupied. There were no cell phones in the room. And she was just looking at the ceiling, looking at a watch, looking everywhere. But not only did no one speak to her within that 15 to 20 minutes that I was observing, no one looked at her at a kindness dinner.
Wow.
Now, that's not to say that these kids and this girl is not doing its best endeavours to be kind. But when they really start to put it in practice, that you can't not do anything. And you talk about the silent majority in America. It's time for them to not be silent.
Speaking of your experience with the young entrepreneur who was working hard to start her,
oh, yes,
her party business, I have to say it was Easter Sunday about 8 years ago. I went to a Ralph's buffet to get something to eat. And there was an older couple there, obviously had some physical conditions and were ambulatory kind of, and everyone was moving to tables and away from them. They didn't want to engage with these older people and that looked like they needed help, honestly. You could actually see some of the issues they had. But they looked nice, and so I'm wandering around like everyone else trying to find a table that's away, because you don't want to, you know, they might bother you and talk to you too much, and they weren't very, I guess, easy to look at because of their conditions. And so I found that I had to sit down across from them. And by the end of the conversation, I got the greatest gift of all was their love and their thought and their kind words that I, praising me for spending some time with them, I felt so humbled. And so, and it was to me, that was my Easter gift, you know, that was the message that I should be a caring, kind person, because you never know what you're doing, how important it may be to someone else, and how that kindness may affect that other people. I also have two experiences in my life where suicide was on the list. And one friend said particularly, if I hadn't called him that Sunday and drug him out of his house and encouraged him to join me and embrace the day that afternoon, that he had everything lined out and was ready to do the deed. And he told me that about 2 months afterwards, and that I saved his life. So I think it's, you never know what a bit of kindness can do and how far it can go, and how rewarding it is at the same time.
And it is huge. And I'm going to leave something with you, Craig, that I think you'll like. What I'm holding in my hand is a kindness card. Now, this card is not a typical card. It is layered with functionality. It's tracked on Google Maps. It's got a unique identifier. Every card's got a different number. When you enter the number on the website that's on the card, read the instructions on the back, you enter a witnessed account of an act of kindness that you either experienced or that you witnessed. And once that's entered, it will show the location where it is, the act of kindness, how many miles the card has travelled, and it will stay in touch with you even after you've passed it on. So I'd say I was given something, I was told to hold on to it but not to keep it. I was told to, at an appropriate time, if I found somebody deserving, to pass it on. Now I'm going to pass this card on to you, Craig.
Oh my.
But I want to share one story that you made me think of then, of this card. I gave a card to a friend of mine, I was going to say mate, gave it to a buddy of mine, and he had been in the Defence Force years before. And when he was in the Defence Force, he was a strapping young lad. He was a water polo player for the Defence Force, and they were champions. Time has passed. He's now a dad, a little bit of a... 40, going through the midlife crisis of having to put a baby seat into his cherished beast, you know. And the phone rings, and it's one of his old army buddies, and says, "We're getting the band back together." He goes, "What do you mean we're getting the band back together? There's a Masters tournament on. We just scrape in. I've signed everybody up." So when is it? Next week. "You're kidding. No way, because you've got to be match fit to get involved." They win. Unbelievable, right? So in Australia, when men want to celebrate, they look for alcohol.
Oh.
So they go to
shocking.
The local. I know, right? That's just an inherited thing in our culture. So they go to the pub, a local bar, and one beer, three beers, the filters start to slide, the volume goes up, and a complaint is made. The manager comes up, sees the young girl behind the bar. Her name is Sarah. Says, "Sarah, look, don't worry about these obnoxious bozos. I'm kicking them out in 5 minutes. I've just got to go and take care of a leaky keg and I'll be right back." Sarah's a 19-year-old university student. She didn't have to do a thing. But she chose to walk up to these big, strapping, middle-aged, drunken men and tap them on the shoulder and say, "Listen, guys, you're about to get turfed out of here, tossed out, and... if you don't pull your head in, if you promise me that you'll pull your head in, you knock it back a couple of notches, I'll put a good word in for you and I think he'll give you a second chance." They were apologetic. They were embarrassed. Closing time comes and incident free. The guys huddle at the door. Craig pulls out his wallet. 2 years this card has been in there. Pulls out a kindness card, registers a story.
Oh, wow.
Walks up to Sarah and said, "Sarah, look, I was given something. I was told to hold on to it. I probably hold on to it for a little bit longer than I should have. But I really want to acknowledge you because we don't get to see a lot of each other. We had an amazing day. We've come from all over the country and we've got some history. Not all of it has been good. But... because of what you did, you enabled us to make a good memory that didn't finish on a sour note. And we just want to acknowledge you for your kindness, because that wouldn't have been easy." And he slid the card across the bar and she took it, and a bit glazy in the eyes, and she was very touched. Card sends an email to everyone else. I get the email and I look at bloody Craig. But it was a good story. 2 weeks later, another email comes through. "Hi, I'm just registering my card. This is Sarah. Just wanted to, before I pass it on, I just wanted to acknowledge the guys that gave me the card." "Oh, that's different. That's not normally the way it goes. Because they couldn't have possibly known that was my last day at work. And they couldn't have possibly known what has been happening for me that week. In fact, I had already decided that when I got home that night, it was going to be my last day, period.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
But on receiving that little card,
yeah,
it gave me a sense of hope. And she volunteers for us now.
Wow. Powerful.
That's the you just don't know.
You don't know. And I
you don't know.
I know, even with this radio show, I get messages, global messages, questioning things that they're wrangling with. And I will assure you, Michael, I respond to everyone as best I can. I you know, I don't think I the know-all and do-all and think-all of everything, but I make the best contribution I can to those people. And I think that's a responsibility that everyone should challenge themselves with, you know, especially when it comes to bullying and all the other things, other negative things that are all around us, it seems. So I, for example, there's some news here I hate to bring up, and we're going to take a short music break, but Trump will give healthcare workers the right to refuse to treat LGBTQ people. How kind is that? I just had to put that in there. I mean, so that group, again, being marginalized like so many groups there are. We're going to take a short music break, and we'll be back with Michael here, and we're going to get some more information about his organization, how we can, on a local level, become more involved. How's that sound?
Bottle up your trouble, put them on the highest shelf. I try and try to dismantle them, but I know that I need your help. You always come right back to me in the end. In the end, I know your heart is strong. I can't sit by and watch you fall. Secrets on your mind, the secrets in the night. Tell me, where should I go? To meet you in the rain, I will crawl through all the veins to get to you. Self away. I try to fight your demons off. Yeah, I know that they're hard to face. But you always come right back to me. In the end, I know your heart is strong. I can't sit by and watch you fall. The secrets on your mind, the secrets in the night. Tell me, where should I go? To meet you in the rain, I will crawl through all the pain to get to you. The secrets on your mind, the secrets in the night. Tell me, where should I go? To meet you in the rain, I will crawl through all the pain. Tell me why you hide. The secrets on your mind, the secrets in the night. Tell me, where should I go? the pain to get to you.
Touch the ground, touch the ground, and it feels like I can see the sands on the horizon. Every time you are not around, I'm slowly drifting away, wave after wave, wave after wave. I'm slowly drifting, and it feels like I'm drowning, pulling against the stream, pulling against the. Can't touch the ground, touch the ground, and it feels like I can see the sands on the horizon every time.
Oh, here we are in Laguna Beach's KX 93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio. This is Craig with Rainbow Radio, and my special guest today, we were talking about kindness, and it's a topic that I think I learned when I was 19 and was working at a bank, and I was a teller. And I realized that so many people came in, and everyone has to go to a bank in those days, and that's the only way you could do it. You actually were there, and you came to a bank with your money, and you couldn't use your... There were no debit cards. There were no cash machines. That was all... That's how old I am. But anyway, I realized that so many people, if I just said hello to them and passed them a smile, it meant a great deal, because then for some people, they would go home and say, oh, the bank, they were so nice to me at the bank. That young man, he smiled and asked how my day was, you know. And I think when I was that young, I realized that you never know how far you've gone with that. So I had to toss that out there, one of my life's experiences, too. But enough about me and enough about that. I've neglected to mention our sponsor, so I'm going to mention him now. It's Mike Johnson of Compass Realty Group, and we thank you, Mike, for participating in our program here and being our sponsor. That's why we can be here and be on the air and have guests like Michael and Sade and Steve and my lovely co-host, Stacy, and talk about all these subjects that are so important. So when we went away for a little music break there, I think what I wanted to touch on, say I'm living here in Laguna and, you know, hear this radio program today, and this sounds very nice, you know, maybe kindness, maybe there's some merit to that. Maybe I want to do a little more. So I'm going to jump right in there. How can people jump into this? And I mean, is there a simple step that would help? I mean, and while I say that, I think kindness should be a conditioned response, for one thing. And a lot of people have been conditioned not to be, that have be a part of their, and now I'm being unkind in saying that, I suppose, but not have that be a part of their conditioned response. You know, I've always maintained that kindness is the best route. But so, Michael, what, do you have some suggestions?
You got to start at the beginning. Now, you do a word search.
Yes.
On any website, with the exceptions of people in this space, but you do a word search on some of the biggest charities, corporations that have got novelty checks coming out of the wazoo. You do a word search on the national curriculum for the word kindness, zero hits. It appears on dating sites. That's where it appears. But so how do we do that? How it's gone MIA, And I've got a theory behind that. I won't go into it now. But it's been replaced by words like mindfulness, well-being, wellness. And to be honest, in marketing, they would tell you, if you've got a message, keep it simple. It's got to resonate with a 4-year-old to a 94-year-old. Ask your 4-year-old what he thinks of mindfulness. The other thing they look for in marketing is a tenure of the brand. So if a brand's been around for a long time, it's got some weight. The word kindness is ancient, yet it is missing in action. So what I would ask people to do, before you start a conversation in kindness, because this is what it's about, conversations in kindness. Before you start a conversation in kindness and you belong to an organization, put it on the agenda. Just write kindness on the agenda. So it'll be in the minute. So it'll be there for and see where it goes. Like we did with that school PTA meeting. Hopefully you'll get a better response than the one I got. But start that. And what will end up happening is it will connect to something that is deep inside us and has been there since we were born. Because we weren't born to hate. That's learned behavior. Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So we get this DNA, and they've identified the gene connected to kindness. And it will resonate with us. And here's the thing for those doubting Thomases or the skeptics that think it's all about sugar and spice and all things nice, warm and fuzzy, hearts and flowers. It's not. And I'm not going to talk about what a kinder world looks like because that's just too easy. I want you to imagine for a moment you're in a world where there is zero kindness, nada. No kindness in the community, so there's no first responders, there's no hospital, there's no health, there's nothing. No kindness in the family. So when you're born, you're left on this. If you're unlucky enough to be born, you're left on the slab. How long would the human species continue to exist if there was no kindness? So when you're telling these hard-nosed, white, middle-aged men in suits, yes, I'm describing myself, the guardians of the status quo, when you're telling them about this, tell them that kindness is an essential element to our survival.
Wow. I like that.
I'm not the first to say this because Darwin talked about it. In the animal kingdom, that sense of community is essential. That's the survival of the fittest, a community, being able to get that community. But unfortunately, in communities, we've got communities within communities. And so, we don't need race, religion, sexual, gender, or politics to discriminate. We'll discriminate on zip codes.
You know, this is reassuring to me to hear your words here just now, Michael, because when you talk about, I've always felt that war is part of evolution and the survival of the fittest and the strongest is the ones that prevail. But you just provoked a thought in me that really that the fittest and the strongest are the ones that are the kindest.
The wolf pack. Where does the alpha lead a wolf pack? He leads it from the back. Who's at the front of the wolf pack? The sick, the elderly, the young, the weakest.
And that's part of kindness.
Yeah. Kindness has got nothing to do with weakness. It's all about strength.
Yeah.
It's all about courage. There is no act of courage that is not tempered with kindness simply because both are selfless.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely 100% selfless.
Wow. So as a vehicle to thwart unkindness, kindness can save the species, so to speak.
It can save the planet.
Yeah, the planet, yeah.
And it's a natural default. We've just had it turned off. We need to reboot. So
I honestly think that probably Darwin has written about it, but we have, and all of us have an inherent instincts, more than one. And I don't think often we realize how powerful they are and how much a part of our culture in everything we do, in our responses. And we like to think that logic and your brain power prevails, but too often it succumbs to some instincts that are perhaps outdated and instincts that are perhaps destructive.
They've been overridden. They've been overridden by, like, what is being professional? Being detached. We've just addressed a whole bunch of healthcare professionals and they couldn't get enough of this.
Oh.
We had a four-day conference in Australia, 400 doctors, nurses, healthcare executives, 4 days talking about kindness. And the things that came up were unbelievable. Can we afford it? Seriously, the barriers to kindness. There's all this stuff that comes up, but primarily the biggest challenge is fear. And it's that fear that is the challenge. And I think that we've got to realise that being vulnerable requires tremendous courage.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're vulnerable, you're being honest,
mm-hmm.
and you're being open. And that allows other people then to open up. You can't just go out and love somebody, a stranger. You can't just do that. We discriminate on that, right?
Right.
Because we've closed up. And I think there's going to take a certain amount of evolution and enlightenment to be able to go and be that person. But that's not me. I'm just a guy in the street.
Yeah.
That's decided to do a bit of a deeper dive on doing this. And even though we're a kind, you know, the global kindness movement, to change the constitution or do anything different, and this is one of the KPIs which will really grab you, to change the constitution, it requires 75% majority of vote. Now, we were presenting a kindness clause in Seoul last year. At the exact same time, we delivered the Australian Prime Minister's message, and a few miles away, North Korea responded with a nuclear response to the threat of fire and fury. And the alerts go off on our phones and we're in Seoul telling us, familiarise yourself with your nearest shelter, prepare for earth tremors.
Oh my.
And everybody was ready to bolt. Do you say that here? Bolt? Leave?
Leave quickly? Bolt. Yeah.
And I just said, look, there's nothing we can do about what's just happened. And it interrupted a really emotional moment from this man on the stage that was sharing an unbelievable story. There is nothing we can do that has just happened outside, but I think it was more than a nuclear test. I think it was the test of a global campaign of fear and hate versus the courage to be kind. And if we allow that to derail
this,
then they win.
Right.
And this kindness clause was then presented, thank goodness. Now, what percentage did you think we got to get this kindness clause over the line?
Well, given
I needed 75%.
Yeah,
what do
given
you think?
The circumstances and the message that was just really sent to them with some clarity, and I suppose you to respond to it with the suggestion that this is it makes more sense to step forward in a way and use this not in a good way, but in a way to promote good, that maybe it was close to 100%. I don't know.
Now, this is the peak global kindness body that's been around forever.
Yeah.
We got it over the line, Craig.
Yes.
With a whopping 1%.
Oh, no.
76%. And the reason I'm sharing this story, and I see Steve smiling, is the frailty of the human condition. No matter what organization you're in,
mm-hmm.
stuff will happen. And that's why this kindness clause is so important. It talks about when it goes into the constitution, it becomes part of the blood of that organization. It's not a HR document, which was part of the argument. Put in a HR doc. Yeah, like that's really helping. How's that doing for us? They're in HR documents. But in this kindness clause, there's one powerful thing. And if you're a company, if you're a director of a company and you're listening and you want to become an official member, you need to be aware, because the expectation is that you're going to adopt this kindness clause, the same as the city will, the same as the school will, the same as Shadi's organization has, the same as this radio station has as soon as we get your application. And in that, there is one clause, there is one line in that, and it says, we will not protect our brand over and above people.
Oh,
Now, the first company that has got the whereabouts to be able to say, that's a great tagline. First insurance company. First bank.
That would be interesting.
First hospital. And that gives permission for people to use a moral override on compliance. Those KPIs that say deny the claim because of a technicality or whatever it might be. That human override factor was needed in the 1940s mm-hmm. when the final solution was being implemented across Europe. Nazi-occupied Europe. Every single country that surrendered to the Nazis so they wouldn't blow up their statues and hurt their people had to comply with supporting the final solution and marching Jews off to concentration camps. Every country did that except for one. Denmark. I don't know what it is about the Danes, but they said no. You want your food, you want your uniforms, we're good with that, but you're not going to get the Jews. That's a deal breaker. They probably didn't say it like that with an Australian accent, but you know what I mean.
And
But what happened? Hitler got really annoyed. And towards the end of the war when he was losing, that really stuck in his craw. So he sent in his best boys, the SS, to finish the job. They marched into the town. After 3 years of occupation, the regular army, the regular German soldiers that had been there with those people, guess what they did?
Mutiny.
They turned their guns onto the SS to protect the Jews. And what that's about is that when you embed something into a community, into a culture, it will stand the test of time and it will influence leaders of tomorrow. Our culture is what's influencing us. The US is a global influence. And what is happening here is trickling throughout the world.
Yes.
Look, we don't have guns like you guys have got guns. You probably know that, right?
Yeah.
But the issues that cause a lot of these school shootings are the same issues that are causing kids to commit suicide. They find in a world that is too cruel, too lonely, and too unkind, and they decide they want to check out.
They're that one little girl among all the others who's not engaged in that you described in earlier, yeah. I want to give some time to Sade. What's your take on all this stuff, you know?
So I joined in. How are you?
I'm fine.
I joined in this movement because I think that to collaborate with one another is basically the key. I have reached out to the major organizations here we have in town, and as the local Goodwill ambassador, I could process your application if you send it in. And you can always, of course, find me at Ability Awareness Project. And I have had the city's back. I mean, the city has had my back, actually. And they have given me a proclamation of support in everything we do. And I'm so excited about this. My focus remains on children, of course. But with this, I get to go into the schools and appoint other Goodwill ambassadors within the school system to bring their own kindness walls. I had the kindness wall at Fête de la Musique. I don't know if you saw that. But we're doing all these things to get the community involved. We're going to have a Laguna Beach kindness concert, the first kindness concert.
Really?
With the city's support. And we are having, we're inviting all organizations to have a booth there. We're having two major groups. The details will come out later. But we want to get the kids involved. We want to get the whole community involved and all the organizations. The more we join in the movement, the better it's going to be for the city's application to be internationally recognized as the World Kindness City. So I'm really, really excited about all of that. And I think that together we can do a lot.
Steve, did you have any perspective on all this in the city and what's going on?
Well, as Michael was saying, I think that ultimately this comes down to the survival of the species and the planet. And we're witnessing now an incredible era in American history of not only lack of kindness, but lack of civility, where officials at the federal level, elected officials, are telling their supporters to go out and harass the enemy, to go and prevent people from being able to eat dinner or go to movies and stand in front of their houses and scream and shout. We've gotten to a point where people think that if they shout the loudest, that means they're winning the argument.
Wow.
And we've gotten to the point where people think that the ends justify the means, and they don't. And so we need a turnaround. We need to embrace certain values. We need to embrace things like kindness and compassion and empathy and love. And those words have to be part of our vocabulary, and they have to be part of our DNA. And so then the question becomes, well, how do you do that? Well, I think each one of us is like a pebble in a large body of water. And if you throw that pebble into the body of water, it creates a ripple effect, and it touches every part of the body of water. And that's what this organization is about. So I not only embrace it, I'm going to be with Michael at the national opening next week up in, is it in Long Beach that we're going?
It is.
In Long Beach. And I couldn't be more excited about this becoming maybe the most important phase of my life.
Wow. I feel blessed to have all three of you here today. I honestly, it's, and Stacy, can you have the last word? Did you want to chime in here?
Well, no, I'm sitting back here thinking, and I have to resort back to my upbringing and where I'm from. This baffles me and frightens me and astounds me that we even have to have a conversation or a movement for an innate thing that is kindness. I was brought up with kindness. My town was kindness. We were small little town. But it just baffles me that we have to have a movement for something that should be right there next to eating and breathing is kindness.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm supported 1,000%, and I'm glad we have these movements, but it baffles me that we even need a movement, that we've gotten to that point that we need a movement for something so we innately have.
It should be part of our DNA.
It should be part of brushing our teeth. It should be part of what we do every morning.
Common courtesy.
So I applaud this, and it's amazing, and I'm on it 100%. So thank you very much.
I want to say there's a musical artist I really admire, Bette Midler, and there is a song.
And she used to live in Laguna Beach.
She did. And there is a song that I would listen to many times, and it was called, and the part of the words were "Hello in there." And it's about walking down the street and seeing someone, and so often, we don't want to talk to that person, so we kind of glance the other way, or our body language pushes it away. And the song suggests that when you see this person walking on the street, that you just look them in the eye and say, hello. And the message was, hello in there. Get in there, beyond that superficial, that's an act of kindness in and of itself, and that's an important part of the world, you know. So how are we doing on time? Oh, I think we're about out. Michael, did you have any shout outs or anything you wanted to? I know you have this event coming up in Long Beach.
Yes, we do. We don't really have much space left. Thunder Studios is your largest privately owned film studio in America. They came on board as a founding partner, and I've got to say thank you to them for the amazing support. So we've got a unique opportunity to have this event at Thunder Studios. We've got a very diverse panel, of which Steve is on that panel. We've got two mayors coming and a whole bunch of messages from mayors from different walks of politics from around the world.
Are you the moderator?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'll be – look out. Look out. I'll be holding no punches.
You won't leave any white elephants in the room, will you?
No, I won't. But I have to thank everybody. People that don't know each other, that are coming from all around the country, are coming to this event. And it's incredibly exciting. And I'll be going for a month back to Australia. And when I return, I'm really looking forward to seeing the results of these seeds that are being planted. And I'm looking forward to returning to Laguna with the checklist.
We'll have that ready for you.
And Sade, did you have any shout-outs or anything you want to add to that?
Well, we are leaving here and going to visit Laguna Canyon Foundation, Pacific Marine Mammals, the Waymakers Youth Shelter. Then we may have lunch and then go to French
Shelter. Well, she's got you on a busy schedule.
I said, use me and abuse me.
Well, I want to again thank everyone for being here today. I think this has been one of the most rewarding experiences in my radio program that I've had. And so I applaud you all for that. And let's keep at it. Let's share some kindness and some goodness. And with that, I'm letting my kind replacement is here.
You're as kind as can be. I'm so glad you're my partner in crime.
So thank you for listening. This is KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio, and this is Craig on Rainbow Radio. We'll be back next week with some more exciting guests. And thanks again to all my guests here today, Sade, Michael, and Steve, and Stacy for keeping us on task here. Thank you, and have a wonderful day in our wonderful city.